Here in John chapter 12, verse 44 and 45. John chapter 12. Jesus cried and said, John chapter 12, verse 44. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. Now, we don't actually expect to see Jesus or to meet Jesus in flesh and blood. In reality, we don't. But we do know that there is a great and glorious blessedness in store for those who have not seen him with these mortal eyes. A blessing awaits them that have not seen him with these mortal eyes and yet believed on him. We do expect to meet him, and we expect to see him after a spiritual fashion. We see the love of God in Christ. Nowhere can the love of God be seen except in Christ. We see him in the gospel. We meet him in the gospel. I remember in my little 5 cent experience when he first appeared to me many years ago, and I believe has appeared to me many times since, not in flesh and blood, but hath appeared to me in the gospel. To see God and to know God is in Christ. For all that we can ever know about God is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I remember when he first appeared to me. When he first appeared to me, he made me to see my shame and my guilt and my sin. I'd never seen that before. I'd never seen that I had offended God. When they talked about heaven and hell, I wasn't interested in the subject and had nothing to add to the conversation. It was said, and it was gone. I never heard it, and if I did hear it, I forgot about it. But when he appeared to me in the gospel, I was overcome and overtaken. In the sense of my guilt and sin, agreeing with God that I was a sinner, a helpless and hopeless sinner. Nothing in me, about me, pertaining to me, was worthy of his notice or consideration. But then I heard the voice of the gospel. Come unto me. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, many days have passed since that time. The biggest part of 50 years have passed since I first was made acquainted with him. Acquaint thyself with him, the scriptures say, and be at peace. Many years. And he has come to me again and again and again. Down through these years, my knowledge of him and my spiritual vision of him is greater now than it was. I was a baby and desired the milk of the word. But as God made me to grow into maturity, I see him in his election of grace. I see this one who was aroused from his peaceful sleep by his disciples and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Without a word, he looked to that bottomless ocean, that fierce waves, boisterous wind. And he said, stop, cease to be. Just spake, and all was calm. I've seen him like that. I didn't at first see him in that light as a God over all and above all. The creator of all things, the maker of all things, sustainer of all things, controller of all events, the manager of all affairs, a sovereign God, seated on his throne in glory and majesty, doing as he pleased. Well, he says here, he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. Well, it goes without saying then that a man must see. You cannot know God apart from Christ. It's imperative that if a man has a good hope, he must see Jesus with his spiritual eyes. We probably won't see him any other way. We'll probably die before he comes and takes us away. But it may be that these are the latter days. It may be that this time in which we live is the time that was foretold, a time when the earth will shake. There'll be rumors of wars, and men's heart will fail. This may be that time. I don't know. I'm not a prophet or a son of a prophet, but it might be. And there might be some of you all will see him face to face. When the angel comes and the Lord Jesus Christ cries with a loud voice, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, you may see him face to face. I don't know. And I believe that when Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me." There ain't no separation. He that seeth me seeth him that sent me. Knowledge. I've learned some things down through the years. Learned some things. Got some knowledge of who he is. And I was just thinking about what I'm talking about here tonight. That it seems like the most vital thing that this nation needs, these 50 states, the population, according to those who are in charge. There's certain ones in charge. There's bosses and there's employees. There's those that sit in high places and think that they can manage our affairs better than we can manage our affairs, or better than God can manage our affairs. And so I heard, I've been listening to and reading the papers and all, and the most vital thing that those who are in charge think that is needed for us is more education for the children. Isn't that what he said? First thing on the agenda. First thing I'm going to do when I'm elected president. We're going to reform, review the school teachers, the schoolhouses, and teach the children. And if the schools don't teach the children, then we're going to penalize them. Well, I got to thinking about that. And they may be right in their eyes. But in my eyes, the way I look at it, I believe that what every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl needs is the knowledge of who God is. I think that's the greatest thing. I don't think there's anything above that. That we might know him. Know him. We can know our science. And Martha and I the other day was watching the television and prior to the news, or maybe on the news, where little 6th and 7th grade kids was calling in, and they had problems with algebra, and they had an instructor on there, and he would work out their problems, question them, work out their problems. Well, I'm sure that's good. I'm sure that's good that you can do that, work out those problems in algebra. But that's not the greatest thing in the world. The greatest thing in the world is to know who he is. That's what the great... You can know that algebra. And Martha and I looked at it and we said, my soul, we'd have never graduated. We'd have never got out of high school if we'd been required to know what these sixth graders and fifth graders and fourth graders, this X and one up here and the 29 down there, I didn't even know what they was doing. I don't know what their purpose was. All I know is 2 and 2 is 4. 12 and 12 is 24. But the greatest thing, nothing is greater than this for humankind, is for a man to know him. And he said, he that seeth me, seeth him. He said, for me, for I and the Father, we're one. To know him, to know him. Here in another verse that I want to read to you here, John chapter 4, John chapter 4 and verse 11. John John chapter 4 and verse 11. This woman that had five husbands. And Jesus said, answered her, no, Jesus said, go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands. You lived with five men. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that you said right when you said, I have no husband. This woman who was an adulterer, lived in open adultery, which was a violation of the law of God. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's part of the law of God. God will never, never, never be satisfied with any man, woman, boy, or girl until that law is satisfied. Justice must reign. Whosoever looketh upon a woman with lust in his heart hath committed adultery. All then are reduced. She had no husband. But the thing that I liked about this was back up here. When he said, the 10th verse, Jesus answered and said, that is in reply to the question, how is it that thou being a Jew, that's the Lord Jesus, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God. Well, in this meager spiritual understanding that I've had, not because I was brighter than others, God forbid, but because God made me to see this. God made me to see that salvation is a gift of God. And it is not like a gift that you and I give. We give gifts and at times regret that we gave the gift. And we would take it back if we could. But I've learned that whatever God does, He does forever. Never reclaims His gift. It's a gift of God. He said, if you knew that, if you knew anything at all about the gift of God. Now, if this generation of people, church people included, if they knew the gift of God, they'd know a whole lot more than algebra would teach them. If you knew who it is that saith unto give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And here's the part I like. And a woman saith unto him, sir, this sinful woman, this sinner, who had five husbands, and the man she lived with still wasn't her husband. She addressed him as sir. Now, years back, sir was used a whole lot. But it is rarely in our day do you hear the word sir used. I'm right, am I? All right. I looked this up in the dictionary. It says, sir is a term of greeting used in the title of a man's office. She called him sir. Used in his title. He was the Son of God. He was God manifest in the flesh. And the term sir was rightfully used in regard to him and to his offices, because he's a prophet and he's a priest and he's a king. She said, sir, this woman of adultery, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence then hast thou living water? Well, turn with me then again to John chapter 12. Verse 21. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, saying, sir, addressing him, Philip, as to certainly to his title. He was one of the disciples. He was one who was near and dear to the Lord Jesus. And he said, sir, we would see Jesus. He that seeth the Son seeth the Father. For I and the Father are one. Sir, we would see Jesus. Well, that leads me to say this. How important is it to you, and how important is it to me to see the Master? How important is it? It was very important to these that I've read and quoted from in the Scriptures. Well, how important is it to you to see the Master, the King, the Prophet, the Priest, the Savior, the Sin-Bearer, our righteousness, our justification? How important is it to you and to me to see? Well, you answer that question every day when you pray. You praying is an indication. When you pray unto God, who you have not seen and yet believe, it's an indication of your soul that you want to see when you pray. So you answer that question every day when you pray. And when you seek his face, you answer that question. When each week, by your attendance to the body of Christ or the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, how often do you attend? Your attendance is an evidence of your desire to see him. If you attend, go today and 2 weeks from now go again, or stay away. You really don't have that desire to see Jesus. Those that have a desire to see Jesus evidence that fact by their attendance to the worship service, where they can worship and sing praises and hear the preacher tell them about Jesus. You give evidence to that. is so important to one woman here in the Bible for her to see Jesus. That though she was sick, she was very sick, she had an issue of blood. I don't know what her disease was, but it was bad. She was weak and she was sick. And at first her ears were opened and she heard them talking about this man who calms the storm, who tells the waves to stand still. She heard about that man, and someone said he was nearby healing people, saving their souls and healing their bodies. She was so weak and so sick. She had went to every physician in Israel, and none of them done her any good. And she was desperate to see this one that they called Jesus. And so she broke through that crowd. There was an enormous amount of people, side by side, wall to wall. And she broke through that pressing crowd in order to touch his garment. Oh, what a desire was in that woman's heart and soul. Move aside. Step aside, I'm coming through. I got Jesus on my mind. I must see Jesus. Sirs, I must see Jesus. She was determined to catch a fleeting glimpse of the Great One. Of the Great One. I remember years ago, I used to listen to, watch on the television, to Jackie Gleason. And he liked to be referred to the Great One. He liked to be called the Great One. The Great One is here. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Great One. And this woman was determined. And nothing was going to stop her from seeing him. And she rushed through that crowd. And she seen him. And the Lord said, "Why, woman, what is it you want?" Just touched him. That's all she had to do was touch him, she said. Just touch him and I know it'll happen. She slipped through that crowd and came back out, and she was healed. Well, over here in John, I think, chapter 19 and verse 3, is another character in the Bible that we're familiar with. He wanted to see Jesus. Man wanted to see. You don't run across very many today and say, "Preacher, I want to see Jesus." Or, "Brother or sister, I want to see Jesus." This fellow wanted to see Jesus. Well, in passing, let me say that want to is of God. Not every man wants to, but they are a number, a unlimited number of people that God has chosen to himself. And they are of that number that sooner or later they want to see Jesus. The want comes from God. He will have his own. If he sanctified and set apart a number of people and he wrote their names down in the Lamb's Book of Life, he'll have those people. All that the Father, Jesus, said all that the Father giveth me will come to me, and I will in no wise cast him out. So the want to in this fellow was the work of God. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom God has sent. And so here in this 19th chapter, it says, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he is rich. Now that's strange, isn't it? He had a good job. He was the chief among the tax collectors. He just wasn't the tax collector, but he was the head of the tax collectors. And the Spirit of God adds to the word and says he was rich. Rich. And he sought to see Jesus. Wonder how that come about. His want to see Jesus is the work of God. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the press. Could not see him for the crowd. But he was determined. How determined are you and I to see Jesus? Our determination is evidenced by our attendance from time to time at the place of worship, where we can pray, where we can sing, and where we can hear about him and pray to the end that God would show us Jesus. Well, he could not see for the press because he's a little fellow, wasn't very big. He ran before and climbed up a sycamore tree to do what? To see him. He that seeth me seeth the Father that sent me. And he climbed up that tree. Just a little guy, and probably the limbs weren't down low. Probably had a time getting up there, but he had this determination to see this Jesus that had passed by. For he was to pass by. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up. Strange that our Lord looked up. Not strange to him. One of his. He was a son of Abraham. One of his was up that tree. God's going to find him. He's going to find every one of his own. 99 was lost. Or 99 was in the fold, but there was one that was lost. But the great shepherd who owned the sheep, he went on a hunt. And he didn't stop until he found his sheep. And he won't stop until he has them all in the fold. And they'll all come by seeing Jesus in the gospel. When a man sees Jesus in the gospel, he can do nothing else but love Jesus. He'll love him because he first loved him. Make haste, Zacchaeus, come down. For today I must. I'd like to. Well, would you entertain me as your guest? No, he said, I must. I got to. It's written in the purpose and the will of God. I got to be there today. For today, salvation has come to thy house. He climbed up this tree to catch a glimpse of this great one. Then I'll just mention those two Marys and quit. Those two Marys. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of another one of the disciples. Forget now. They came unto him. And he said, after the resurrection, they come looking. They ran down there, and there he was. And he said, all hail. All hail, he said those two men. You know what they done? They fell down on their knees and grabbed him by his legs, and they wept and worshiped him. They see Jesus. Let's stand.